Genesis chapter 3. When you get it, say amen. Verse 1 reads, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those who are assembled today. We thank you for those who are tuning in via live stream, Father God. And we invite the presence of your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, bring us to a place of truth, expel all the lies, deceptions that we have learned up to this point. And we pray that we would receive your truth, your engrafted word that is able to save our soul. We give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for this in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord. Amen. I want to read this again. Pastor Louis. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." First question I have is, who made the serpent? God made it. Are we in agreement on that? Does the Bible say God made the serpent? All right, read it again. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." We just read unequivocally that God made the serpent. So why do we tell the people that he was something else? Why do we tell the people that he was holy? He was a worship leader. He was anointed cherub. He was Lucifer. We have made a road map through the whole Bible misidentifying who the devil is when the Bible just told you. Read it again. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." It's right there in black and white. Somebody say serpent. The enemy's introduction into the affairs of man was as the serpent. Unfortunately, many of our leaders didn't understand what's written right here in black and white. And so when we talk about Satan and we refer to the serpent, we only refer to him in characteristics or attributes of a snake. We fail to identify that he is a serpent. I mean, some stuff so easy, you need help to misunderstand it. Help me, Holy Ghost. Somebody say serpent. Now watch this. I'm going to prove to you that he is a serpent. Go with me to Revelation. Chapter 12. Y'all don't mind if we look at some scriptures today, dude. You got a Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. "And the great dragon was cast out." Uh-oh. Did it say Lucifer was cast out? No. Did it say the worship leader was cast out? "The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent." Somebody say old serpent. Now for all you Bible scholars, because you know I'm going to prove what I'm talking about. How you doing, bro? You good? If you look up old in the Greek, Pastor Louis, it literally means original. So let's read it in that context. "And the great dragon was cast out, the original serpent." And that Greek word comes from a root word that means first in rank, time, and order. So let's read it in that context. And the great dragon was cast out, the original serpent, the first in rank, time, and order of all serpents. So when we go back to Genesis chapter 3 and it says the serpent, it is speaking of the enemy who was the original serpent, the first in his rank, time, and order. So if God was to show you the enemy in his spiritual original state that he was made in, he is a snake. Not all this stuff you see in Hollywood, not all this stuff the church have told you, he is a serpent. The Bible just told you that. Look at it. See, sometimes it's hidden in plain sight. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, the original serpent. Now watch this, called the devil and Satan. So his name is Satan and the devil. What he is a serpent. Now what's a dragon? All a dragon is a serpent, an enlarged serpent with wings. So he's a serpent in Genesis, he's a dragon in Revelation, because that shows the authority that we give him. Let's go back to Genesis 3. Now, we just saw that when it says old serpent, it means original serpent. So he didn't pull, like many of us teach, he didn't possess the body of a serpent. He didn't use the serpent to get into Eden. He was and is a serpent. And prove it to you again. Jesus said to us, behold, I give unto you authority to tread on snakes. You can't make this stuff up. And who was he talking about when he said he gave us authority to tread on snakes? He was talking about the enemy, the original snake. Any help in the house? Let's go back to Genesis 3. I come to help. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. We just read that God made the serpent. We didn't read that God made something that fell and became the serpent. As a matter of fact, go with me to John chapter 8. Who made everything? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was. All things was made by Him. Say that with me. All things was made by Him. And just in case you didn't believe that God literally made all things, he added a clause in there. And without him was not anything made that was made. Could God be any more clear? John chapter 8. You got it? Anybody want the truth today? Look at verse 44. Now, this is the one, Jesus, the Word was made flesh. The Word in the beginning was the Word, and it was the Word that made all things. Now, the Word is made flesh. So the one who made all things is now in a body of flesh. He was there in the beginning. He made everything, and he is here giving us some inside information. Are you there? Verse 44. This is Jesus speaking. He said, ye are of your father, the devil. He's speaking to the religious zealots. And the lust of your father you will do. Now, the one who made everything, people of God, is getting ready to tell you about the enemy. He's getting ready, the one that was there in the beginning and made everything, he's getting ready to tell you about our arch enemy. Look at what he said. He said he was a murderer from the beginning. Did he say he was a worship leader from the beginning? Come on, somebody. Did he say he was the most beautiful angel from the beginning? Is this the gospel of Romel Moore? Come on. The one who made everything, the Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things was made by Him. When He was here and getting ready to give us the resume of the devil, He said what? about his beginning. He was a murderer. Not the most beautiful angel, not the worship leader, not Lucifer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And look at this. He didn't abide in the truth. So when we go back to Genesis 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. Can't get no more plainer than that. Let's go back to Genesis. Help me, Holy Ghost. Somebody say serpent. So he is a serpent. His job is to be the accuser of the brethren, to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen? And his name is Satan of the devil. Say that again. He is a serpent. His job description is to steal, kill, and destroy, accuse the brethren, and his name, that old serpent called Satan and the devil. How can we fight and defeat an enemy we don't even know? First rule of warfare is know thy enemy. And the reason why the American church seemingly is so powerless as we look at the condition of our society now is because we don't even properly know the enemy. We already talked about that. Serpent. Serpent is the Hebrew word nachash. That means hissing one. It comes from a Hebrew root word that means to whisper a magic spell, to enchant, prognosticate. Now, prognosticate is someone who says or speaks a prophecy to predict a future. But let's deal with, he whispers a magic spell. So the whole story we have in Genesis 3 of the enemy conversing with Eve, he is whispering a spell over her. He is enchanting her, but how is he doing it? Is there a gun to Eve's head? He's using words. The enemy understand the power of words better than the church. The enemy, he know that Jesus is the Word of God. He know where his origins came from. He knew the power of words, and he simply engaged a conversation with the first woman on the planet and was able to cast a spell. Before I break that spelling down, I want you to see something. Anybody notice that the serpent was talking? This is a literal serpent talking. This is not the devil possessing the body of a serpent. This is serpents talking. See, there's a lot in scripture the church don't want to deal with, but I am a lover of truth. We got 66 Bibles, books in the Bible. I have to deal with this. Amen. I can't be out here preaching and they want to skip over passages. They may not make sense to me. But there was a talking serpent in the beginning. Which leads to me to believe maybe the animal spoke. Your halo's just shifted right there. I'm just showing you what's in the Bible. Let me explain something. Do you realize in heaven there are talking creatures? One of them is a serpent called a seraphim that is above the throne of God, that have wings, and they speak and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There's a creature at the throne of God called a cherubim that has the face of a man and the face of an eagle and the face of a cow. Amen. They have four different faces, and these creatures are speaking. So when we set aside our shock and awe, what's in heaven was actually on earth too, speaking. But that was in the beginning where all things was possible. After the fall, we don't have animals talking no more. But no one wants to deal with the fact that there was a serpent talking in the garden. It happens again. Balaam's donkey actually spoke, but that was an exception to the rule. Are you there? So it's not like it ain't in the Bible. Y'all looking at me strange, but this ain't the gospel of Romeo Moore. If I could just take a Polaroid. Let me take a Polaroid. So, serpent means to whisper a magic spell. Mm-hmm. So he understands the power of words, and he showed his ability with words with the first woman who did not have a consciousness of sin. Did you know that Adam and Eve was not aware of what sin was? They were absolutely innocent. Amen. So that's why she was engaging with the serpent. And maybe she was engaging with the serpent because talking with the animals were normal. Maybe, I don't know. We know they talked in heaven. Maybe it was normal. So she's engaging with the serpent, not knowing that he's casting a spell. Now, that spell would not have worked on her if she knew the word of God. I'm gonna prove it to you. That's why he went to her and not Adam, because he sat there and watched. He know who received the word, and he know who didn't really know the word, so he went to her. Amen. He talked with her. He was able to use his power of words over her. You ever been around someone that know how to use words? And even though you know right from wrong, come on, sisters, y'all got to be able to say amen behind this. Even though you know right from wrong, if that brother know how to speak, he know how to pontificate, he know how to put we call it game, he know how to put that thing together. Amen. You'll know get weaker and weaker until you say yes. Ain't no truth bearers in the house this Sunday, huh? Somebody say, cast a spell. Watch this. Jesus' name before he was born of the Virgin Mary was the Word of God. That's his ancient name from the beginning, the Word of God. Am I right about it? So God's Word is what was used to create everything visible and invisible. Amen. So all creation, spiritual and natural, at its core, is connected to the Word. Amen. There's something in all spiritual and physical material that understands and is connected to Word, because we came from the Word of God. So the enemy understood this even when we don't. I'm going somewhere. The Bible literally says that the worlds are framed by the Word of God. So everything that exists cannot get away from Word, Word, Word. So the enemy shows up, and that's why the serpent has one tongue but two endings. Have you noticed that? When the serpent's tongue is slithering, you see one tongue but it has two endings. Why is that? Because it's a picture of the tree, one tree, but the knowledge, two knowledges, good and evil. What am I trying to say? The serpent tongues, the way that he casts a spell, he take a little bit of the good and add a lot of the evil and tell you a lie. That's his power. But Jesus, who is the Word of God, the Bible says that the Word of God is a double-edged sword. The serpent's tongue, his word, is a forked tongue. God's word is a double-edged sword, and we got to know the difference. Because we have believed the fairy tales. He cast a spell over the church and made the church believe he's something he's not. Made the church believe he was once holy. Made the church believe he was God's worship leader. Made the church believe Jesus came, who made everything. He said, no, he was a murderer from the beginning. The Bible says. Mm-hmm. Somebody say, cast a spell. So we understand that all spiritual and physical material at its core
is connected to the word. Now watch this. Words by nature cast a spell. When we hear spell in the religious church, we automatically think of the occult. We automatically think of Satanism. We automatically think of darkness. Amen. The serpent, the hissing one, he whispers magic spell. But watch this. We're called, Pastor Louis, to preach the gospel to all nations. Am I right? Look up the etymology of the word gospel. Spell is in gospel. It literally means God's spell. Help me, Holy Ghost. And that's why you see people come to the Lord, because the way that the word of God, when he created everything, is connected to words. It, when you speak, you naturally, words, the power of words casts a spell. So when you preach the gospel, when sinners hear it, they come up under the spell of the Holy Ghost, and their hearts are turned, and they come into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Now watch this, the definition. To name or write letters of a word is defined as spelling. Look up the definition of spelling. It means to say or write the letters of a word. So spell is naturally in words. Can I have my water, please? Y'all mind if I take a station identification break? Mm-hmm. Y'all still with me? Gospel. It's God's spell. And I want you to see something. The enemy understands the power of words so good that the Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. And when, whether it's television or radio, we call it airwaves, right? And since he's the God of this world, he controls the airwaves. Why do he need the airwaves? So that he can spew his magic spells over the masses, so that he can use the power of speech over the masses. And we've seen this work at its highest level during this pandemic. Mm-hmm. What did the powers that be do? They got up. Did they bring in the military to get you to go home? Did they bring in the military to have you close your church? Did they bring in the military for you to walk away from that business that you put all your blood, sweat, and tears in? They simply got up, Pastor Louis, and said, words. There's death in the air. Go home. Give us 2 weeks. That week became months. That months became years. They got up and they used words. And just from speaking words, they said, well, this is a mandate. Congress didn't get together and pass a law. Mayors and governors simply said words and said, it's a mandate, hoping you just obey. And we did. We heard a mandate from the serpent's tongue, and we gave up our rights. Are you there? He did the same thing during the pandemic that he did in Genesis chapter 3. Have God said, you shall not surely die? Amen. So he used his air force. The prince of the power of the air used his air force of corrupt media, of corrupt social media, of all of his mouthpieces, his false prophets of Baal, and even the church obeyed, not through force, but through the power of words. Mm-hmm. What did he do? The serpent, the hissing one, all he did was whispered a magic spell. Come on. And some people are still under that spell. Do you guys remember the study of someone called Pavlov? It's called Pavlov's dog. And he did a quick study. When it was time to feed the dog, he would ring a bell first, right? Then he would show him the meat to feed him. And so after repeatedly doing this, what happened was, by association, the dog became trained that when I hear the bell, start to salivate. Because I know when they ring the bell, food is getting ready to come. And the enemy, the serpent, the hissing one, who whispers and casts spells, who enchant and prognosticate the masses through our ears, we found out now that he so trained the masses through mainstream media and Facebook and Twitter that certain words or names we hear now is that bell ringing, Sister Lourdes, and people respond to it. It's called the Trump derangement syndrome. Right now, you say Trump to certain people, they lose their mind. That's the enemy's bell ringing. Amen. If you guys seen it on social media, there's people out there that's in the public and they're recording and say, how do you feel about Trump? And the people just go crazy. Oh, he's a racist. He's this. He's that. And they say, do you have any proof of that? They look at him. Forget it. Because when the enemy speaks and casts a spell, and you sat there and you let him cast that spell by listening to CNN and MSNBC and everybody else all that time and not being in the Word of God, not being in the church in the Word of God. Many saints act the same way. You say Trump it up. They say, okay, well, you have that right. Well, tell me, what have you done as a racist? What have you done as this? And this can be for anybody. But this Trump derangement syndrome is real. Amen. And then when you ask them, well, just tell me. How is it that someone, for 50 years in the public eye, black folk, rappers, and everybody else would celebrate, but as soon as he became president and the serpent cast his spell using his Air Force and told you he is a racist, now you believe it. Amen. I'm just showing you the power of words that you can't even defend what you say you believe because you don't know. You've been, watch this, spellbound. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus came, he met that same serpent and was called the temptation. Go with me to Luke chapter 4, and he's going to show you how to dispel the one who have the world spellbound. Luke chapter 4. You got it? Verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, here he comes with that forked tongue, the prognosticator, the one who brings divination and enchants and whispers to cast a spell, that same serpent is now dealing with the Word of God. Isn't that something? The serpent's tongue is going head to head with the Word of God. And the Word of God is getting ready to give us a master class on dispelling the one who casts magic spells. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. Let's stop right there. You think he didn't know he was the Son of God? Of course he did. Remember when Jesus would be casting out devils and they would say, thou Son of God, have you come to torment us before his time? If they knew, Their master knew. Amen. But this is what he knew. He's approaching him the same way he approached Eve. All he has is his whispering magic spells. He said, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. God is getting ready to show you how to dispel the magic spellcaster. And Jesus answered and said, what? It is written. Somebody say, it is written. See, that's all Eve had to say. That's all you have to say, is return the word of God against his words. And unfortunately, the church don't even understand their own power. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith. When the enemy, when you sit there and folk want to tune into and repeat headlines from CNN and MSNBC and Fox, you return it with the word of God. Well, you know they're doing this right now, but it is written. Well, you know they're doing that right now, it is written. Well, you know he's crazy and they're trying, but it is written. The word came and gave us a master class, as simple as it is, on how to break the spell bound that's over the people. He said, devil, it is written. What did he use? He used God's word against the enemy's word, against Satan's tongue. He used the double-edged sword against the forked tongue, and we always win that way. We don't need your opinion today. Amen. I come to you today showing you what it says in the word of God. Take it or leave it, but that's what the Bible says. The word of God was made flesh, and he had a one-on-one battle with the enemy. Look at that. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, it shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, for it is written, for it is written. Why doesn't the church just tell us what is written? Why don't our leaders just tell us what is written? I come to you today humbly, just showing you what is written. Hallelujah. If we just read our Bible, if we just study to show ourselves approved, we will not be spellbound by this fork-tongued devil, because we would know what is written. It is written. That's all Jesus did. Amen. But we go into religious emotional frenzies. Devil, I bind thee. I come against you. I do. Just say it is written, though. Amen. Where's the emotion here in this battle when the word of God went against the enemy? What's the fanaticism there? We don't see it. Any help in the house? Somebody say spellbound. So we said this now. To the point where we're in a season of utter insanity. His tongue have cast such a spell because he made you go home and sit there, and you were so, during this pandemic, you were so consumed with washing your hands, you didn't know he was washing your brain. And now we're looking at a world, because the church had the audacity to close its doors when the enemy declared war. The church had the nerve to go home when the enemy came out the closet.
And all the saints did, because they were not in the house of God receiving, it is written, they was at home watching CNN, and they heard, faith comes by hearing, they heard the serpent's tongue. Now it's hard to get saints to fight back. Have you noticed, people are very afraid. God's people are very afraid. The enemy is out the box, and God's people is afraid to just tell the truth. We're afraid because the serpent's tongue have caused a cancel culture and will counsel you and will come after you if you try to tell them what a man and a woman is. The devil is a lie.
Chad, you might want to start the car, because...
Amen. Supreme Court justice won't even define what a woman is. Amen. People on national news say, well, I'm not a biologist. What?
Enemy have come out so strong now that the people of truth, the people of God, refuse to be light and salt in the earth. Now watch this. We haven't changed. We haven't moved at all. We've been standing on the word. God made two genders, male and female. We've been standing on that since Genesis, since in the beginning. We haven't moved. The world and the culture have moved all the way over here. And now they got us looking like we are the extremists. When we haven't moved, you're the extremists. But they're convincing whole populations that you are the problem, because we're inclusive until I disagree with you. Come on. We're gay. We're the happy ones until I tell you what the Bible says and you ain't gay and happy no more. Amen. That's when that devil shows up and you're ready to fight and curse me and call me everything up under the sun. But we've been standing on the word since the beginning. You're the one that moved all the way over there, and I'm not moving. Lord have mercy. Let's get back to Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, hath God said. He comes and he just used the power of words. If thou be the Son of God, hath God really said? People of God, don't get off the word of God. Why? Because all things was made by the word. And when you stick with the word, there is no power, there is no tongue, there is no speech out there that's more powerful than God's word. It is written. This is what God said. Now watch this. The enemy, the one who cast a spell and have the world spellbound, he have moved and totally taken over the government, education, media, intelligence, and many in the church. We call them progressive Christians because they're pro-choice. You know, leave the LGBTQ plus two XYZ community alone. Have you noticed that the enemy is in everything? He's in the alphabet. Amen. DNC, GOP, FBI, NSA. Because letters are part of words. And you got to say them in order to spell. If I say, Pastor Louis, spell Bible. As soon as you begin to give the letters, there's a spell. He is spelling. I'm not teaching nothing but common sense. Webster's dictionary is not the tool of Satan. It is just a dictionary. Amen. Your children go to school and they have spelling tests.
Because words by nature cast a spell. The problem is God's people are still on Similac. God's people still wearing bibs. God's people ain't even got in the game. Help me, Holy Ghost. So, this serpent, he's a real serpent. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on snakes. And they out here. I give you power to tread on snakes. And how do you do it? By preaching the gospel. By preaching the gospel. By telling the good news that the Lord came. He lived sinless. He died for your sins. And he got out of the grave for your justification. Just say what is written. Just say what it is. And God will cast his spell. And break the power that has the people spell bound. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Good News Fellowship. Thank you for the awesome leadership of Pastor Louie. We even thank you for the worshipers that was here this morning, oh God. And we pray, Lord, that you shake us to our core. We pray, Father God, that you get a hold of our minds and our hearts and our bodies in this very dark season, Father God. The church have been so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. We're so busy trying to get out of here. But Jesus, when you prayed for your disciples, you said, Father, don't take them out the world, but make them one as you and I are one, oh God. Let us get away from this escapism and let us understand that you said to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We don't need a bunch of churchgoers anymore. We need the body of Christ. We need those who come as soldiers, oh God. We need those who understand what is written and understand what's going on and how the serpent have cast his net, his spell in this world, but we're coming to expel and dispel him with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We give you praise for it now. In Jesus' name, oh God. And with that being said, let us stand to our feet. We want to speak and dispel what's going on, Father God. We give you honor right now, and we say in the name of Jesus. We say in the name of Jesus. Let me hear you. And we said in the name of Jesus, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Devil, we serve you, notice, and we say that the word of God is true. The Bible said that he placed his word above his name. Because if he don't keep his word, he don't have a name. We thank you, Father God, that we get back to truth. We thank you, Father God, that we don't fear certain passages. We thank you, Father God, that we take the gospel to the nations and we preach your word, oh God, and we speak to the powers that be in this state of Hawaii, the corrupt powers that be, and we say your days are numbered. There's a new legion of God's people coming into the governorship. There's a new legion of God's people coming into Congress. There's a new legion of God's people coming as council members and education board members and as teachers and administrators in our school. We say that we are here and we speak God's word to the powers that be now, and we speak God's ability, the power that's in the word of God, and we say it is so. Glory be to God. We say it is so in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap.